Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Well, good morning. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Are you willing to do that today? You know, that song is a new wine. It's about God doing something new. Pouring out His love and His grace in us in a new, fresh, and unfamiliar way. It's about change. It's about the new for the old. And so that's very fitting for today's service. And I just want to go ahead and just say I am honored for all of you who have come today, and from I see many have traveled for quite some ways to be here, and I'm so grateful, and I'm going to try my best to make it through today without having a just complete meltdown and baby cry up here, so y'all stick with me. So, you know, I've heard it said, and I'm sure you've heard it before, that the only constant in this life is change. It's inevitable. And I don't know about you, but for the most part, I don't like change. I don't like it. I don't like things being different than what I'm used to. And unless, of course, it's a sweaty shirt or a dirty baby diaper, then I enjoy the change in those situations. But for the most part, change is difficult for most people. And I know it really is for me because I like kind of being in my comfort zone. I like knowing what's coming and those kinds of things. But change is inevitable. It's going to happen. And for the most part, we don't really have a whole lot of control over the things that change in our life. I mean, we do have a little bit of impact, a little bit of influence, but for the most part, we don't. You know, kids come into our lives, or we get married, and the dynamics of our relationship changes. And then kids come into to our family, and again, the dynamics of the relationship changes. Perhaps you've lost a loved one recently, and you know that the changes that that brings on, age brings on changes, unfortunately. Technology is constantly changing. It's hard to keep up with it. Interest rates, fashion, the weather, even your own personal tastes change. They're always changing. It's just a part of life. It's inevitable. It's what's going to happen. And so today, we'll look at how when we come to the place sometimes where we are the ones that are initiating the change, it can be difficult. It can be different. It takes on a whole new level of difficulty, and it brings us to a whole new level of faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is faith in times of change. Will you pray with me this morning? Father God, we gather here as a family today. Your children, our brothers and sisters together. And we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for how awesome of a God you are. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the call that you've placed on our life, Lord. God, most of all, we're thankful for your son, Jesus, who probably took upon himself the biggest change ever when you unzipped your glory suit and you stepped down out of heaven into our messy existence. I cannot think of a greater change for anyone than in that moment when you chose to humble yourself and become one of us so that you might pay the price that was due to us so that we can enjoy this relationship we have with you. And today, as we look at change, as we look at how our faith can grow, our faith in you, Lord, help us to be steeled in our faith today through our experiences with you. Now, God, I pray that you would be glorified, that you would be honored in everything that happens today. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're in the midst of this series, In Transit, and this is the last of the five-part series, and we've looked at, throughout the past few weeks, a few different situations and people in Scripture and how they changed and how their circumstances changed. They were in transit, and what that means, and let's just kind of recap the last few weeks and look at some of the things that we've learned. The first week, we looked at Job. Job had a lot of changes going on in his life, and change, we learn from Job, sometimes involves suffering. And even in our suffering, we learn from Job that we can trust God. And then later we looked at the disciples. And change is a challenge. A challenge from God sometimes. Change is a challenge. And when we're called by God, we should expect to be challenged. And we should accept that challenge. And just like the disciples did, follow Him. From Paul, we learned that we should be content in all circumstances, even in the hard ones. And change often brings on hard circumstances. From Daniel, we learned that in times of prosperity or in times of persecution, our hope remains in God. Not in our circumstances, not in our situation, but in God Himself. And so today I want to look at Abram. Or you may know him as Abraham. And how when he was faced with some difficult choices that would lead to some drastic change in his life, he relied on his faith in God to give him the strength to make those tough choices. And he saw his faith grow through those times. You know, Abram lived in the Ur of Chaldeans, with his father and his wife, his brothers, his nephew, and probably a lot more family that lived there. And right there in the Ur of Chaldees, in his place of comfort, and his place of being settled, surrounded by his family, in the familiar, God came and spoke to him. So let's read together in the 12th chapter of Genesis. We're going to start there in verse 1. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land where I will show you.'" Abram lived in what was probably just a bustling area of commerce and culture. Archaeologists and historians believe that that area was probably an area where civilization was booming at that time. And so he probably was pretty comfortable there. He had scholars believe that that place would rival ancient Egypt in its architecture, its trade, its arts, its commerce. And it's probably safe to assume that Abram at that time was there in a place of comfort. He was probably enjoying the good life. He was there with his wife and his family, and they were settled in that area and apparently doing pretty well for themselves. And then God shows up. God shows up and changes things in his life. He calls him to pick up and to leave his country, to leave his people, to leave the area where he knew, to leave his comfort zone. And now, Scripture doesn't give us any record of God showing up and telling him why he was leaving. There's no record of God showing up to him and telling him how things were going to pan out. There's no record of him telling him the logistics of the operation, and these are the things you need to bring with you, and these people, and make sure you have these supplies and that kind of deal. There's no indication that God told him the route to take, or how he was going to pay the bills along the way, or any of those details. God just shows up and he says, "I want you to pack up and leave." And can you imagine how that must have felt for Abraham, for Abram? I mean, that was probably a really weird thing. We don't know where he even knows God from. There's no indication that all of a sudden you're reading about all this stuff in Genesis, and then all of a sudden God shows up to Abram. And we don't even know how the relationship was before that. We don't know how he spoke to him, but God showed up and said, "Abram, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out of your comfort. I'm calling you out of your settled area, and I want you to go. And I want you to go without any other details." That had to have been a tough place to be in for Abraham, for Abram. So Abram, at that point, was faced with a question. But not only did he have a question, God didn't stop there. We read in verse 2 and 3. There was not a whole lot of details, but there was a promise. God says, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." God showed up in the middle of Abram's routine and called him to do something a bit crazy. But he promised him great things if he would just obey. He promised him that he would be a great nation. Now, if you remember the story, Abram has no children at this point. So this promise had no physical, tangible foundation that Abraham could have placed his faith in. It had to be completely squarely in the one who made the promise. He says, I will bless you. So Abraham is picking up and picking up, pulling up stakes and heading out someplace, and he's just trusting that all of his provision, everything is going to come from God. And I will make you a blessing. Not only am I going to bless you, but as you go, others will be blessed because of your presence, because of your obedience. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. You see, he promised him protection through his journey. He said, listen, don't worry about others. If anything comes against you, you're my man. Your obedience and your faith is going to allow me to come in and be your protection. And then the greatest promise of all, he says, I will protect you, and the ultimate blessing will eventually come through you. You see, when he tells him that all people on earth will be blessed through you, he's talking about our Jesus. Because the great nation that was going to come from Abram's descendants that haven't even been born yet and won't be born for another almost 30 years, that great nation is the nation by which Jesus comes forth. It's incredible. And God's promises are so true. And we can look back now. We can build our faith as we look at Abram's story here and see that God's promises are true. God's promises are yes and amen. So Abram was faced with a choice at this point. God shows up and says, Abram, I want you to pack up and I want you to leave. And Abram, anybody who's a good 80s kid like I am, immediately as I read that passage there, I'll think of the Clash song, Should I Stay or Should I Go Now? And you can imagine that's where Abram was at that point. He's like, I have a decision to make. I've heard from this God that I don't really, we don't know much about. And I go into a place I don't know anything about. And I've got this dilemma. Do I stay or do I go? And verse 4 tells us that Abraham left. Verse 4 says, so Abraham left as the Lord had told him to. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. See, his family had already moved from Ur up into Haran, and we're hanging out there, and that's where God shows up and calls him, and he's obedient there. He doesn't know where he's going. God only said that he would show him the place. God could have said, now listen, Abraham, take your things, and these are the things that I want you to pack. Go in this direction and travel on this road, and you're going to go along, and you're going to stop, and you're going to hang out in these cities. And you're going to meet these people, and they're going to provide for you in these ways. And eventually, you're going to settle in this location. But no, he didn't do that. He just said, Abraham, pack up and go where I'll show you. And Abraham did. He stepped out in faith. I'm sure this took a tremendous amount of faith. I bet there was a lot of people who knew Abraham and said, what? You heard from who? What? You're going where? I don't know. I'm just going. I'm sure there was probably some pretty tough conversations there. People that didn't understand what was going on. I'm sure it was difficult for him to explain to people. But he trusted God. And as he went, his faith was strengthened. He had faith to step out of Ur, out of Haran, and begin his journey. But that wasn't the faith that he was going to ultimately need. Now, we read in Scripture, there's a passage that talks about moving from faith to faith. It's in Romans. And we talk about moving from faith to faith. And I used to read that and go, what in the world does that mean? I don't understand that. But I understand it now. Because you see, as Abraham had the faith to pack up his family and leave his comfort zone and step out, he had the faith to leave Ur. It eventually led him to have the faith to believe God for an heir, which then later on led him to believe and have faith that it took to trust in God's covenant and his promise, which built his faith up to the point where he could have the faith to take his favorite and only son at that point up a mountain to sacrifice him to this God that he had been following. If you read that story, I love that story where God, where Abram has taken Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice him, because he tells his servants, what does he tell his servants? He says, wait here, we will be back. He had faith. Even with the knife in his hand, he had faith that his son, because that was the promised son, he had faith in God during that moment. Now, do you think that he would have had that much faith at that moment in his life if he hadn't had those little moments of faith building along the way? That's what it means to move from faith to faith. And that's what change, that's what challenge allows you and me to do, is move from the faith that we have right now to live the life that we're living and to be at the moment and the point and on our faith journey that we're on right now, and build our faith to the point where we're ready for what God has next for us. Because God's got greater things. That new wine that we read about, he moved as he had faith, and it built him to the next level of faith. I think it's important here just to pause for a moment and define the word faith. What does that mean to have faith? We talk about it. We talk about our belief system being our faith, so we've kind of turned it into a noun. But faith is an action. Faith is a verb. We have this faith, and it has to cause us to move, to do something. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You know, last week we talked about hope. Hope isn't realized unless we act on it in faith. You see, our faith is in the future is what our hope hangs on. Because without faith, we don't have hope. When we see something or we experience it with our verifiable senses, if we can touch it, if we can feel it, if we can see it, smell it, whatever, it's real, it's not based on faith. That's based on concrete evidence. Faith is knowing without a doubt that something is real without any concrete sensory evidence of that. Abram was acting on faith as he responded to God through action for something that he had no real evidence of. He had no clear directions. He had no air. Yet he acted in faith. His faith in God was what compelled him to obedience, to action. His obedience was proof of his faith. Now, I'm sure I've used this illustration before. And if you've seen it before, then just humor me for a moment. But this is just such a perfect example of faith. And I want to show you just a short video clip, and then we'll talk about it. So I got to think that as Abram was getting set to leave Haran, that he must have felt a lot like Indy. In that moment right there in that clip where Indiana Jones is going, he realizes what he needs to do, right? And he's kind of like, oh, like I can't believe. And then he puts his foot out. And I believe that's how Abram must have felt at that moment when he was ready to leave Ur and step out in faith. And just as Indiana Jones, when he acted on that faith, he got to experience the provision of God in his life. His feet continually fell on solid ground while he walked in obedience to this God who he had faith in. And I'm certain that Abraham's faith grew. You can tell Indiana Jones, as he took those first few steps in that little clip there, he's kind of tentative, but eventually he kind of puts the book away and goes, I got this, right? His faith had been steeled. He had confidence in what God, Abraham had confidence in what God was doing, moving him forward. As Abraham followed God, he was continually tested. There were times, I'm sure, that it was tough. There was times where we read where he failed, where he made some mistakes. But God honored his obedience and blessed him as he went, because that's what he had promised him he would do. Our God is good, and when his promises are true for us. Now, Abraham left Ur, and I've got a little illustration here. You can kind of get a visual of what's going on here. He left the Ur and went up to Haran, and he begins to follow God. And you can see the blue mark there, the little light blue line, where he traveled along the way. He traveled kind of the southwestern direction out of Haran down towards, and he's just kind of traveling. He actually ends up in Canaan, but he doesn't stay there very long because there's a famine. And he moves on from Canaan into Egypt, where he makes another mistake. And God blesses him again and dusts him off and sends him back the other direction. And he eventually ends up settling in Canaan. And along the way, he has a son. Along the way, God has blessed him with prosperity. We see that he and his nephew Lot have so much stuff that God has blessed them with along the way, that they can't even stay in the same area. That they're so their wealth that God has blessed them with was so much that they couldn't even, the land wouldn't even sustain them in one location. They had to split up. Blessed them with prosperity. He blessed him with favor as he went along. The people were scared of him. Kings even were terrified when he would come into their area and deceive them with his wife. And they would say, "Why are you doing this to me? Get out of here." They were scared of him. He had favor with kings, and eventually he does become that great nation. And eventually the Savior of the world comes from him. See, there was 215 years between when God shows up to Abram and Haran and gives him the promise, and when Joshua finally brings the people of Israel across the Jordan into that promised land. 215 years, and yet he kept his promise. Because of Abraham's faith, because he acted in obedience based on what he knew, what he had faith in, his God, God held up his end of the bargain. And because of Abram's faith, because he trusted God, because he obeyed, because he acted on his call, we read in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Abram believed the Lord, and he, that's God, credited it to him as righteousness. I don't know about you, but when I think about how I want God to think about me, I want him to think I'm righteous, because that's the only way. That's the only way to come into his presence. And through Jesus, through our faith in Jesus, not any action that we do on our own, not anything that we can do on our own, not any goodness that we can have in and of ourselves, but because of our faith in Jesus, God looks down and he credits us for righteousness. That's amazing. But it's all because of that faith that prompted Abraham into action. You know, one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite life verses that I come up on quite often and I quote quite often and I have to remember quite often is Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. And I've kind of got my own paraphrase here. You got it up there. It says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths." Trust the Lord with all your heart. Not what you can see. Not what you understand, not what you feel. We have this big thing in churches now where it's got to feel right, right? You know, I didn't feel good about worship today, or I didn't that message didn't make me feel like I felt like should have felt, or whatever. It's not about your feelings; it's about your faith. It's about trusting God. But sometimes it's difficult for us to do that, and we hold back. We trust our circumstances, right? What we can see around us. If Abram would have done that in his situation in Ur, as he stepped out, he would have never left. Because he would have looked around him and said, "Man, I got it made right here. You know, my family's here. My wife, her family's here. Why would I want to leave?" But he didn't put faith in his circumstances. We put faith in our feelings sometimes. That doesn't feel right to me. You know, if your feelings contradict what the Word of God says, your feelings are wrong. Let me say that again. If your feelings contradict what the Word of God says, your feelings are wrong. Because this is truth. This is right. This never changes. This is what you have to base your actions on and your faith on. We trust what we can see, what we can verify, instead of believing in faith and acting accordingly. You know, we can sometimes lean on our own understanding. I know I do. And when we do, we end up lost. We end up sinking beneath the waves, we end up missing out on the blessings and the adventure that God has set out before us. If we'll just obey and just follow him and just trust in him with all of our heart and don't lean on our own understanding. Now this story of Abram stepping out on faith out of his place of comfort and his place of security and following God into this unknown has really rung a bell with me over the last couple of weeks. As you guys all know, today is my last day as the associate pastor here at the Fountain. My family and I are leaving Haran, and we're following God in obedience, and we're trusting in his promises. And that little video clip we watched there of Indiana Jones, right now in my life, I'm like this. Because tomorrow morning, I won't be coming up to the office like I have for the last 18 and a half years, where I knew the comfort, where I knew what was waiting for me, where I knew I had a church that was behind me and supporting me, where I knew, at least for what we can understand, that there was a paycheck coming and things like that. There was a lot of things that I knew that I could trust in that was my own understanding. But this story of Abram has just kind of really rung true with me. There's been two things that kind of stepped out or stood out to me over the last couple of weeks and months for me, and that's this story of, or actually three, this story of Abram leaving the town of Ur and going into a place that he didn't know, because that's really what we're doing. The story of Peter getting out of the boat, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, and then the story of the disciples out there fishing with their dad, and Jesus comes along and says, hey, follow me, and they drop what they're doing and they follow God. Follow him into the unknown. We talked about that a few weeks ago. So we accepted the call, God's call, to come here to Trinity Christian Fellowship, and we began as full-time youth pastor here on February 1st of 2001. That was a long time ago. I don't even think we had a website at that point, did we? That was even before churches had websites. That's how long it's been. I'll show you how old I am. We accepted God's call to come here, and over the years, I've taken on several other roles and things like that, and eventually, you know, kind of switched titles to associate pastor. And God's been so good to us, and we've experienced so much. And I even look around the room right here today, and I see folks who have been such a blessing in my life. And I'm so thankful for those of you who have come back today just to celebrate with us what God is doing. And God has been so good to us. And we've been blessed, and we've been provided for, and we've had a support system. We've had a family that's been here for us, and it's been good. And throughout the years, when things got kind of rough, there's been lots of times where, you know, you go onto the Indeed web search and kind of see what's out there, you know, things aren't going so great or whatever. But God never really said, you can go. God called me here, and he was going to have to call me away for me to leave. Well, a couple of years ago, as you guys know, Trinity Christian Fellowship and Impact Church, through a move of God, joined and became the Fountain. And for whatever reason, and I can't really explain it, but for the very first time in my ministry, I felt released. I felt like God said, okay, you're released. But until he called me, I wasn't going anywhere. In fact, I had people come to me during the merge kind of thing, and some people would come and say, hey, you know, what's your deal in this? How are you just going to work out? And I told them, and until we say our prayer today and leave this place, it's true. I've always told them, I'm here until I'm not here, until God calls me away. Well, through the years, during that time, about 5 years ago, my family and I, we moved, actually almost exactly 5 years ago, we moved from a suburb right here close to the church out to Winder, Georgia. You may say, why in the world would anybody want to do that? But it's a pretty cool place. I like it out there. So we wanted some land, and we wanted we both grew up kind of in the country, and we wanted to be out in a little bit more of the rural area, and you know, we both kind of wanted maybe some chickens and things like that. And so through the grace of God, and it's a whole nother story how all this happened, we found a fantastic place. And the Watts Farm was established on June 26th of 2014 in Winder, Georgia. And we love it. We've got about 40 chickens now that run around the yard and give us delicious eggs. And we raise pigs for food. And I've got I'm a beekeeper. I have honeybees. And we just love it. We got plenty of elbow room. We got great neighbors. It's just nice out there where we are, and we love it. But we were still here. Our heart was still here, and we were working here. But shortly after that, Laura began to work in Barrow County with the Barrow County school system, and our kids moved up there into that school system. And through the relationships that began to develop there, we began to see a great need in our community up there. Lots of opportunities to minister that we really couldn't really do a whole lot with. I mean, we did our best, and we ministered with some folks, and in fact, some of them are here today, and that's a blessing to me. But we've had folks up there that we want to minister to, and maybe God was pulling our heart towards our community. And so we began to think and pray and seek God's face on that. And through the past couple of years, there's been two different opportunities where a church has had a pastorate come open, and I've examined that opportunity, but for whatever reason, God had other plans and closed those doors. And so, you know, we have just kind of been in this unsettled feeling for quite some time now. Well, back, what was it, the beginning, middle of May when Auntie Grace was here? Where's Grant? Beginning or middle of May, somewhere in there. Auntie Grace, the missionary from India that that was integral in Grant's and Bridget's life early in their ministry, she came and she spent some time with us. Well, we invited her, Bernie invited her to come to our life group that night, and she came and she spoke. And we sat down in the circle that night, and some folks at the circle that night knew what was going on with me and my heart and in my life. And Auntie Grace sat directly across from me in the circle, about 25 people or so, I don't know. And she began to talk, and she began to share the stories, the tremendous stories of what God's doing in her and through her and her husband and their ministry there in India in some really tough situations, and how they have had to just really rely on God through faith so many times, hopping on a train and going to a town they've never been to, not having any provisions when they got there, and just kind of all these experiences that they've had and how God has blessed them tremendously through their time and their faithfulness and their obedience to Him. And she used the story about Peter getting out of the boat. And she, as she's speaking, like I said, I'm sitting across from her there in the room. There's 25 or so other people in there. But as she's speaking, everything else just melts away. And it's just me and Auntie Grace and God. And I hear God say, "Aaron, it's time to get out of the boat." Man, what a burden I had on me that night. And so, you know, the story about the Peter getting out of the boat, he's the only person in history other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who's ever defied physics and walked on water. Why? Because he had the faith to step out of the boat, to get out of what he knew, what was comfortable for him. He was in a boat. That's where he grew up. His dad was a fisherman. He knew the boat. He was comfortable with the boat. He knew what the boat can handle and what it couldn't, and he trusted the people that were there with him. But out of the at least 12 people that were on that boat, he was the only one who had the faith to climb over the side of that thing and keep his eyes on Jesus and walk on water. Right? And that spoke to my heart, because I don't want to be those other 11 that sit in their comfort zone. I want to be Peter. I want to be the one who people talk about years and years and years and years from now and say, remember the act of faith that he stepped out in? That's what I want to be. Something interesting to come up since then, and somebody mentioned this to me, and I had thought about it before, but, you know, Peter gets out of the boat. He's standing on the water. He's walking. All of a sudden, he doesn't any longer trust with all of his heart in God. He begins to trust in his circumstances, right? He takes his eyes off of Jesus. He looks at the waves, and he sinks, right? Well, the story tells us that Jesus reached out and saved him at that point, but it doesn't tell us how he got back in the boat. I believe that once he reached out to Jesus and caught hold of Jesus again, that he got back up on that water and he walked back to the boat. That's what I believe. And we don't know, but that's what I believe. But I wanted to be Peter. I'd heard that message that night. I drove home saying, "Okay, God, I hear you. I hear you. I'm scared to death, but I hear you." And so we get home and we're ready for bed, and Laura's getting ready for bed, and she's coming around, and I said, "Babe, I said, I think Auntie Grace was talking to me tonight." And my precious wife says, "I know exactly what you mean. I know what you mean. I heard it too." And that support, that encouragement from her is priceless. I couldn't do it without it. If she would have said that night, "Aaron, you're absolutely out of your mind," we wouldn't be here today, because I have to have her with me. I have to have her by my side. But she said, "I felt the same thing." And so we talked about it a little bit that night. We prayed about it and continued to pray about it. And after that, I began to have some really tough conversations with some folks. And you know, talked to Pastor Mike and the leadership here at the church, the elders, some other folks that I trust, and just kind of wanted to just make sure. You know, there's wisdom in much counsel. And so I wanted to bounce that off of folks and just see what everybody said, and begin to have the tough conversations with people that I needed to have with leadership that I was working with and things like that, and friends and people that would be impacted, you know, the greatest by this situation. And it was just such a blessing, the encouragement that I got. Not one person has said, "Aaron, you're out of your mind." They might have thought it, but they didn't say it. Every single person has been encouraging and uplifting and saying, "Go, you're just encouraging to me because of your faith to step out and follow God." And that's been so awesome to experience. I've been met with grace and encouragement, blessings, people speaking blessings over me and my family, and nothing but love from everybody that I've talked to. God has confirmed this decision, even though there's been long periods of time where I have doubted, what in the world am I doing? God continues to verify. God continues to confirm. God continues to speak to me through other people and through His Word and encourage me in all these things. And through all of these feelings of transition, God at the same time in His ultimate grace and perfection has, at the same time as He was calling me away from the fountain, has been reaffirming my call to ministry and has been using people to confirm the anointing on my life to be a pastor. And that has been such a blessing, because I think if everything would have been ripped out from under me and I would have been questioning that and having that, I don't know that I would have made it. But God knows. So God would confirm through all kinds of different things. He's been confirming my call as pastor through the Trace Diaz community and opportunities that I've had to minister and to be a blessing and be blessed through that ministry. Through personal contacts that I've had, there's been people coming out of the woodwork over the last 2 months for me to minister to them in different ways. And it's been tremendous to hear, to see that God is still confirming that call on my life. Old church members reaching out for spiritual guidance. New folks in my life recognizing the anointing and the call that God has placed on my life to continue in ministry. It's been really cool seeing God confirm this along the way as we go. Leveraging me in my faith. Leveraging me in my faith through my brothers, through my church family, through total strangers, through His Word, through the Spirit that dwells in me. So tomorrow, I set out from Haran with my family, and I trust that God will provide. I have faith in Him. You see a lot of people say, well, what are you going to do? And, just like much like Abraham, when God showed up to him in Haran and said, I need you to leave and go and don't tell you where to go, that's kind of what He's done to me. He said to pick up and go, but He hasn't really given me a whole lot of clear direction. And so I would covet your prayers for God to guide us as we move forward from here. I don't have another church we're going to. There's not another ministry opportunity that we're stepping right into that would be a full-time position. There's opportunities that have come up that I'm looking forward to, but nothing that's going to be paying the bills. So we're looking forward to how God is going to provide and the blessings. I know there's going to be challenges along the way. I know that God is going to test our faith even further. And I know, I trust and believe in Him that there's going to be times where I fall flat on my face. And He's going to be there to pick me up, to dust me off and say, let's keep going. Let's keep going. So tomorrow we step out. And just like Indy, I kind of feel like this is where I'm at right now. But faith, that leap of faith, it's exciting. It's terrifying sometimes. But I have an expectant joy of what God is going to do. And how He's going to reveal, and what He's going to reveal about Himself, and how, through this situation, I know that God's got something greater down the road for me that's going to require greater faith for me to accomplish, because through this, He's building my faith. You see, over the past couple of years, it's been kind of comfortable. It's been kind of complacent, or I've been kind of complacent. And God's challenging me. He's shaking things up because He's got something greater for me. I don't know what it is, but there's something out there that's going to require a greater faith for me. He's going to continue to use me and my family and the callings and the gift that He has given me, because He's a good, good Father. He loves us. He blesses us. His promises are yes and amen. Well, that's enough about me. Let's turn this around just a little bit. I want you to think about your own life. I wouldn't be doing my job up here if I didn't make a point of application. What is it in your life that God is calling you to do that requires faith, that requires you to get out of your comfort zone and do what God's calling you to do? I've spoken with others already through this journey that I've talked to that have said they've been in similar situations. I know I got the blessing of having my younger brother with me here today, and he's going through the same thing in his life right now, how God has kind of ripped us both out of our jobs, out of our comfort zone, and put us in a place where we're trusting completely on Him. But what is your story? What's God doing for you? What's He calling you to do? Is He calling you to get out of your comfort zone into a new job? Is he calling you to go back to school? You feel like maybe God's calling you to start a business or a ministry. Maybe you feel like God's calling you to go on a mission trip, and that's just going to really get you out of your comfort zone. Maybe God's calling you to begin tithing. That can get some of us out of our comfort zone. Or maybe it's serving here at the church or in some other ministry and using the gifts and talents that God's given you. What is it that God's calling you? How is God calling you? What boat is God calling you to get out of? What ocean is he calling you to walk on? You and me, no matter what our situation is, no matter how God has called us, we must hold fast to the promises that God has declared over our lives. That's what Abraham did. That's what Abraham did. He held fast to those promises and he acted in faith. We must act in faith on what he has called us to do. No matter what others may think or say or what we can see or what we can understand on our own in order to receive the hope of our future. As we trust him through whatever transition we find ourselves in, our faith will grow. We'll grow from faith to faith. And just like Abraham's experiences with God and his provision, God's provision in his life, and the fulfilled promises in your life and in mine, we must allow our own experiences with him to grow our faith. You see, the Israelites, I'm going to back up just a few minutes. The Israelites would oftentimes, when God would show up in a great way and do something miraculous, the Israelites would build an altar in that location. They would make a pile of rocks, basically. And they would rename that place the God of so-and-so, whatever it was that he did. They would rename that place the God who provides, or the God who heals, or the God who is our banner. They would name that location that with this pile of rocks. And the reason they did that was to build their faith, to build the faith of the people of Israel, because they could look back as through their travels, and they would come to that place, and they would be able to tell their children, and they'd be able to remind themselves, this is what God will do. This is how good our God is. And so I challenge you, just like my wife and I stepped out in faith when we came here and we answered God's call back in February of 2001 to come to this place. He's used that as a marker, as an altar in our life that we can look back on and say, God is good. See how we stepped out in faith and God provided? We have to do that in our own lives. So what do you have in your life that you can use to help build your faith as you move from one thing to another? I can look back over my life and see where God showed up. Showed up, showed out. His promises are true. His promises are amen. And I don't know about you, but I believe that he'll do it again. Don't you? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he look into your life and bring you peace. God bless you. I love you.